Good morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and we're getting ready to move into the new year. There's not much, many new announcements to look at, but there's a couple in the bulletin today. Also, Bob gave us a challenge, so I'm going to give the challenge to you all. When you walked in, there's where the bulletins were, there's the 52 weeks Bible reading plan. So if you want to jump on board and read through the Bible within a week, these papers are up there. We're going to start on January 1st. I'm sure Bob is way ahead of us. But we're going to start January 1st. That way you get to, you know where you are. Because I tried before and I got lost. I have no idea what week I ended up on. But if we start on one, we get through it. So hopefully you'll jump on with us. There may be an incentive at the end of next year when we get to the end. So hopefully you can join us with that. But those are out there. Also, we are so glad that you're here. If you're a guest, which I don't think there are any, I think we're all family, which is totally awesome. There's on the in your bulletin a place for you to fill out, and please put it in the offering plate so that we know that you are here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for this morning. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that we could be with family and that we can come into your house this morning and just to worship you. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. I know I did. Enjoying the grandkids. We're going to open with Joy to the World. always sing the first verse of them. Think you have it, huh? Oh, we need to stand up. Shout out. That's a good one. You were the nothing compared to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us. Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great. Praise and adoration. Sing songs because you did come as a little babe to live a sinless life and die for us, that we may forever be with you. It's a beautiful story, Lord. Help us to celebrate it and sing it this morning. Lord, we thank you for that we can be here in your house this morning, and we ask a special blessing on the message this morning, that you fill Jeremy with your spirit, Lord, and that you fill our hearts with your words, that we can go out and tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and bless this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and what Like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name, worship your holy name, Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Privilege of bringing the New Year's communion comments. I'm going to start with the New Year's coming. Will it be better than the last? Well, I think that's totally up to we the people and to the God that this republic stands for. Because I believe the battle that we're fighting right now, it's not a political battle. So I'm not giving Jeremy his payoff. It's not about Republicans or Democrats or any other party. It's about good and evil, period. In my opinion, you couldn't find 10 people who aren't on the take in Washington, D.C., in all the parties. And the next few days are going to be quite important. And we should be on our knees praying that the evil does not prevail in our leadership. And I don't personally understand, with what's going on around us today, why this church is not busting at the seams. Are we just cowering at home waiting for our government to save us? I got news for you. Our government couldn't save a thing. I have very little faith in my government. And it's not their job to save us anyway. It's their job to uphold the Constitution. And last year, they've been walking all over the Constitution. In the name of a pandemic, a virus with a 99%+ survival rate, that was made, man-made, by the same evil we're fighting against. And this same evil, and you can look it up, it's common knowledge, are the ones who made the vaccines going to save us. Well, I've known for years, I've heard it for years. Creation scientists talked about the evil that's out there, how there's many rich forces that want us dead, think the earth's overpopulated, and they put him in prison. I guess if you want the vaccine, you go ahead and get it, but I'm not going to take a shot from somebody who wants me dead. But you can have your own opinion on that. I think if you want the truth, you need to get in the Bible, find it. Look beyond all the BS the government's feeding us. Look at, for one example, and I've used this before, and I think it's great, is what the government's done with the global warming, climate change and global warming, and how much of our money and time has been wasted on that. Well, I can go to Genesis, the first book in the Bible. God addresses this because he knew it was coming. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's about clear. That's real clear. That tells me that global warming and climate change is all baloney. You know, I'm not saying go out and pollute the world, because that's not, God told us to take care of what he gave us. But the climate's not going to change. Climate change is all about one world order and rich men getting richer. What we need to do, and I fear what will happen if we don't man up and take this country back, but I was reading in Leviticus the other day, and Leviticus is one of them chapters that's kind of hard to read, but the end of it's cool. Let's find it. I thought these, what he had to say in Leviticus, is in a 26th chapter. It's subtitled "The Reward for Obedience." Now it goes on to tell you the punishment for disobedience, which is about three times as long as the reward for obedience. I'm not going to get into that because I hope that all us people here are going to fall in the obedience. So I'm going to read this, the 26th chapter of Leviticus. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant you peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. So, the way I read that, I thought that's pretty reassuring in these times. It only takes 100 good men to take on 10,000 foes. So I like them odds, and I'll be one of the 100. This year, we need to fight for what's right. Go into the battle with our heads held high, for evil cannot and will not prevail against righteousness, ever. They can't kill us. We're immortal in Christ. In this new year, let's look into Scripture for the truth. Live a blameless life as we possibly can. Be willing to give it all for our Lord and our brothers. because what we're celebrating right now at this communion time, evil men wanted Jesus dead, and that's what they did. They killed him on a cross, a cruel cross. They hung him and took his life. And they thought they had won. These men thought they had won. But we all know what happened on the third day. He rose victorious over sin and death, and it no longer has a hold on us. So if you don't know Jesus, 2021 is a good year that you should join his mighty army and shout the victory, for those who trust in Jesus will never die but have everlasting life. Pray hard, trust in the Lord, trust his word, and most of all, do not fear. And after that, I say amen. If you want to fire me, go ahead.
Come around this morning with our prayer concerns. We do have one here that is a thank you from the WCS. We want to thank you for coming to Carroll. And this is the 92-year-old lady next door loved it. And this is Joelle telling this, okay? Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for the goodie box also. We hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. Stay safe through the coming year. God bless and watch over all of you. Love, Joelle and Janice. And then we have Diane Keller, Noreen Keller, daughter-in-law. Update, she has pneumonia along with the COVID now. Prayer concern there. And Jerry Melman, Scott, his from work, he's got his shoulder. What happened to his shoulder? Tore his shoulder, rotary cut. Okay, so we need to be praying for him too. And then also, I was thinking this morning as we singing that song right before the communion. Did you listen to the words of that and realize how great that song is? What a beautiful name he is. And I thought about that. I thought the words of that about honoring God, that'd be a good song that you could sing at my funeral. When I lay me to lace, I want to be known as one that's followed him right from the beginning. And I thought, man, what a beautiful song that is. So let us come in the Lord to prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, dear Lord, and your songs. Thank you for our church family, for the loves, prayers, and support. And we especially thank you, want to be in big prayer, dear Lord, for these many people that have this COVID at this time, because I know many of our families have been touched with it, with maybe family members or relation, and many of them are out there struggling with that, dear Lord. And we pray that you be with each and every one of them. And we ask a blessing on these ones that we are rejoicing, dear Lord, that enjoyed our Christmas caroling as we went and shared a little of your love with each and every one of them. And we pray that you keep our church family safe and that we can worship you each and every time, dear Lord, that our house is open. Be with Jeremy and Jonathan as they minister, and be especially Jeremy as he brings a message at this time. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As you all know, we have been walking through this gospel, the gospel of Mark. And as we've walked through this gospel, we have seen the power of the gospel. If you remember, Mark started the gospel off that way. He started off with Jesus saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." Those words were what surrounded everything else that Mark wanted to tell us. Repent and believe in the gospel. And we've seen how the power of the gospel leads us to serve. The power of the gospel has led to lives that are changed. Repent and believe in the gospel. And we've taken a deeper look as we've walked through Mark's gospel here, and we've looked at what gospel means. Elegeion, good news. Good news. And if you remember, Mark was writing to the Roman audience, and he used the Roman word. Good news, the battle's over, it's done, the victory is ours. Believe the good news. The battle's over, the victory is yours. But we've had to ask the question as we walk through this gospel, we've had to ask, how do we see, or better yet, how do we understand the gospel? How do we see Jesus? Because the way we answer that question determines how we respond. Do we share the good news? Because you see, in the Roman days, in this time period, when the runner came into the city yelling, "The victory is ours, the victory is ours," it didn't just stop there. A celebration began, doors flew open, people were yelling it from the streets. What's going on? What's going on? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? The victory, the victory. And the town knew it. The city knew it. The providence knew it. The victory had been won. Do we have the excitement for the gospel? Do we understand the gospel? Today we're going to look at the final power of the gospel. The power to give life. And if you would, open to chapter 16, this final chapter of Mark. And as you're doing this, I want to share this illustration. In the city of Hanover is a graveyard which has been closed for a number of years. The garden churchyard. Owing to its iniquity, monuments, and the fact that it's being the resting place of a number of celebrated characters, it awakens the liveliest curiosity. A few paces east of the unassuming little church in the graveyard is a monument tottering from its foundations. It is built in the form of steps, and the massive stones are secured by heavy iron clasps. The monument was erected in the year 1782. Besides the usual family inscriptions, at the base of the monument are engraved these arrogant lines: "The sepulcher, purchased for all eternity, is not permitted to be opened." Opposed to this determination of a man, a beech seed, perhaps carried by the wind, found its way into a crevice of the foundation. In the course of the years, this little seed grew to be a strong, luxurious tree, mocked the proud inscription of the monument, raised the massive stones from their foundation, and rent the stone iron clasp asunder. This open grave reminds the visitors of the mutable of earthly scenes, and the fallacy of man's resolution to project plans to last for all eternity. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory for the gospel. Thank you that we've been able to walk through this gospel, that we've
can get a better understanding of who you are, what it means, what is the good news. Lord, as we come to the victory part, we give you praise. Lord, open our hearts. Open our understanding. Lord, as your word said, as that man came to Jesus, help our unbelief. Lord, help us to repent and believe the gospel. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember, the silence of God has been broken. It was broken with that tiny baby born that night. But here again, the silence of the grave is now broken. Many of us have come to Christmas table. Some of us have come to a bedroom, perhaps. And there's that silence of the one that's not there. The silence of the grave is deafening. And our hearts break, and we wish just for that tiny bit of a laugh, of a word of encouragement that person always gave. And the grave seems forever. It seems eternity. The silence is deafening. But the silence of the grave has now been broken. You see, here in this ending chapter, Mark kind of just drops the bomb and says goodbye. Kind of like in today's society where they say you drop the microphone. I'm not going to drop a microphone because that's... But drop the microphone, it's done. I'm out. Mark ends the gospel that way, but he ends it in a powerful, powerful way. Let us look at verse 1 here. Verse 1 of chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying one to another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishing had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You see, there Mark ends his gospel. Astonishment had come upon his servants. The grave had been broken. The silence was broken. They were told that he would appear again, that they would hear that laughter again. They would hear those encouraging words again. And they weren't sure what to do with it. So they run and they flee. But let us look at the actions of these believers. You see, these believers, these women came. They knew who Jesus was. He was their teacher. He was their master. They didn't quite understand the resurrection yet because it hadn't happened. But he was their all. And they were faithful to him. Notice who comes. Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons cast out of her. A life changed. Mary, the mother of James, the lesser, who is one of the apostles. And then Salome, who is the mother of James and John. This James is not James the lesser, but this is the other James and John. These are cousins of Jesus. They come when early in the morning. They come to give respect to their master, to one who has given everything to them. Mary Magdalene had her life back. She was cast out. She was tormented. She had no life. But Jesus gave it back to her. And now she comes in faithful service to Him. Not only that, they show their dedication by bringing in a very, very expensive oil. These ladies weren't rich by any means. Salome, the mother of James and John, she was a wife of a fisherman. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. If you remember, when Jesus comes, they're out with their father Zebedee mending nets. This Salome is simply a fisherman's wife. She has not a lot of money for this expensive oil. But because Christ has given so much for them, They give everything they have to collect this expensive oil and go to anoint His body. And not only do they go to anoint His body, but notice it's they go a day and a half later. They went and they celebrated the Sabbath. They had to wait. Think about that a minute. You go to pay your respects, the dear one that you've lost, and you wait a day and a half to go and dress the body, to pick out that outfit. What's that body going to be? Very, very stinky. This is the moment where you just stand back and you just mourn. But these ladies get up very, very early in the morning and they take this expensive oil that could have, as Judas once said and believed, could have been used to give some money to the poor. Why are we wasting money on an expensive oil and not only wasting this money, but going to a dead, stinky body that's way beyond any help at all? But that's the dedication of these women, because Jesus is their all. He was all that they had. He was all that they knew. And so they come and they come to worship Him. They come to give their respects. How do we look to Jesus? How do we see Jesus? Is He our all? Even at that point where it seems like it's hopeless? No one would know if they didn't come. No one would care. Jesus couldn't say thank you, He's dead. But He loves them so much that they go and they do this. Do we love Jesus the same? Do we go to serve Jesus when Jesus is quiet? You see, there's a lesson also to be learned here. These final verses, 9 through 20, a lot of, and probably in your Bible as well, there's this little note that says some of these earliest manuscripts don't include this. You see, originally it stopped at verse 8. Mark was done. Christ is risen. That's the climax. This is the point. He's not here. He's risen. He is the Son of God. There's no more we have to say. But somehow, somewhere along the lines, these other verses were added on. They don't follow Mark's style, so they think they were added by probably a scholar who had been writing, copying this over, and they added this because they wanted the story not quite to end. And although we may not know who wrote them, we know that they're there. And if they're there, they're there to learn a lesson from. They're there because it's important for us to go back and to look at them, not to just overread them. So we go back and we look at this verses. And you see in two separate occasions, if you read these two accounts, Mary Magdalene is the first in verse 9. Now, when He rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom was cast out 7 demons. She went and told the others what she had seen. Verse 11, but when they heard that He was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Jump to 12. 12 says, and after these things He appeared in another form to 2 other of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Twice the disciples, these 12, hear this crazy tale that Jesus is alive, the Master is with us. Twice they don't believe it. Why don't they believe it? Because raising from the dead is a hard thing to believe. It's a wishful thinking. But verse 14 also tells us, because you see, Jesus does appear. Verse 14 says, afterward He appeared to the 11, they themselves as they were reclining at table. And He rebuked them for their unbelief. Their unbelief of being told twice, He's here. Here's what happened. See, we don't see the in-between parts of this story, but Mary Magdalene just didn't come and say, hey, Jesus is alive. See ya. These two didn't just say, hey, we were walking down the road and Jesus appeared. Got anything to eat? I'm kind of hungry. No, the story that these guys told, these two men and this lady, you could see Mary's tears drain down her face as she's telling the story. Her beloved Savior came. But it's not in there. We have to see it between the lines. And yet, you're a little out there, Mary. Sorry. They could not believe because of the hardness of their heart. It was just too hard to believe. If God is real, if God is moving, then why haven't we? Why can't we see Him? Why hasn't He appeared to us? That's nice that you think that, but we saw what happened. Facts are facts. We saw the cross. We saw the nails. We saw the blood. We saw the body. Facts are facts. But there's hope in that. See, we don't have to end it there. I believe that's why this section is here, so that we can look and we can say, you know what? Many times I've come to this point in life where I look at it and I say, God, that'd be nice. I'm glad You did that for that person. But where are You in this situation? That's nice. And be like, Thomas, You show me. You show me and then I'll believe. But that's nice for that person. And we come with a hardness of heart because we won't believe what has been told. We have the Gospels. We have what's been told. And some of these Gospels, like John, gives us details that could be backed up. And yet we stop and go, that was nice for them. But see, we have hope in this. Because see, after He fusses at them, what's He do? He reminds them of the truth. He gives them a job to do. Verse 15. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Do those words sound familiar? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Have we heard this before? There's hope. See if this sounds familiar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There's hope. All we have to do is what? Get your life straight. Stop doing what you're doing. Come to church. Now you see, Jesus said it right back in chapter 1. Repent. And believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Just believe. When we believe, there becomes a power behind it. Because we see that Christ, when we believe the gospel, we see that Jesus is the Christ. There's everything that He proclaimed, everything that He did. He pointed to that one moment on that cross. And then what did He do? He topped it off and proved that He was God by walking out of that tomb. We have that hope. And all we have to do is believe it. Let's put away our have-tos. It's got to be this way before. You don't understand, God. Let's put it away. Let's just believe. You see, as we bring this Christmas season to a close, let us not simply close this book. Let us not simply close this gospel and move on to another day and another year. Let us celebrate the baby in the manger. Let us give God glory for dying on the cross, that we may be here this morning, that we may have hope when life is the hardest. Because here's what He promised, Deuteronomy 31:6. And if you look, if you go back, and if you have a Thompson Chain reference, or if you have the little notes in your Bible that tell you other verses, you'll find this more than once in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dread of them. For it is the Lord who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He won't leave us or forsake us. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, he tells Joshua that over and over again, be strong and courageous. And over again, he proves himself. Again, he tells us here, believe the gospel. Be strong and courageous. You see, we have hope because a baby was born in a manger. And we have life because that baby died on the cross. So come adore Him, but come and repent and believe the gospel.
Imagine Christmas is over. All the programs have been performed. All the pictures have been taken. The carolers are done singing. The holiday parties have come and gone. The presents are unwrapped. And the big dinners have all been eaten. Christmas music is turned off. The family's headed back home. Someone from work is on the phone. The kids have a practice to get to. The house needs to be cleaned. The bills still need to be paid. The groceries are running low. The stock market is still down and up and down. The TV is still on. The news is still worrisome. Life just keeps going as if Christmas never happened. But it did happen. Look around. The church is full of family and friends and laughter. Because the baby is still the Savior. And the Savior is still the gift held out. To a world still looking for joy, an earth still waiting for peace, and the peaceful still sing in wonder of the God who gave His Son, and the Son who gave His life to add us to His family, and one day welcome us home. Imagine Christmas is over. But remember that it really happened. And it changed everything.
Let us pray. Lord, we stand in awe of who You are. We stand in awe that You would speak to us through Your Word. That You would tell us the story of Emmanuel, God with us. That You would tell us Your story of You taking on flesh. You were born of a virgin, living a sinless life and dying on the cross. And You, knowing us, wouldn't just tell us the story once and the man that we believe it, but You would tell us four different times. You would give us life. You would promise us hope, a promise that we can stand on, a promise that's unlike any other. Lord, help our unbelief. Forgive our hardness of hearts, Lord. Help us to come to your word and not just read it again as we've read it before. But let us come to it with open hearts, open minds, to listen to you as you share your story with us. A story of redemption, of forgiveness, of that promise that one day we can awake and hear you say, "Well done. Welcome home." Lord, we give you all glory. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very well done, Jeremy. It's always hard to follow up after good preaching. Yes, Christmas did happen. We're pretty fortunate to be living in the time we're living right now. We can see that Christmas did happen, that Jesus did come for a lost world. And we can see more things unfolding in front of our eyes daily that are still yet to come. What we're seeing is the revelations unfolding in front of us. And Jesus, he made a promise that he's going to come back someday. And that day is getting closer and closer and closer. We're going to see, we might see the Lord's face before we perish. To me, that's what wonderful hope that we may be the generation that sees Jesus coming in the clouds. We may never even experience death. I don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. It says even Jesus don't know for sure when the Lord, when the Most High God's going to tell him to come. But you can be assured of this, that day is getting closer and closer, and we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. When that day comes, we need to be ready to meet Jesus. We need to be, to hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I know for me, a sinner like me, this story means so much to me. And it can mean so much to you, too, if you need your sins washed away. We're going to sing a song this morning of invitation. If you need Jesus this morning, or if you just need to rededicate your life to Jesus, if you just need comfort, if you need anything, please, as we stand and sing this song, come forward. We'll meet you here.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He walked.
Lord, again, we thank you that we can come into your house and hear your word, Lord, and be reminded of what you've done for us, Lord, how you gave it all for us, Lord. It's a wonderful time of year, Lord, as we celebrate your coming to earth to save us. And it heads into a wonderful time of year again, in the springtime when things are made anew. And we again celebrate your dying for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this church. We ask a special blessing on all those who couldn't be here this morning, Lord. All those who are fighting, Lord, and health and sickness and COVID and all the things that are attacking us, Lord, that you will wrap your loving arms around those people and keep them safe and bring them back into your house again, Lord. We ask that someday, real soon, Lord, that these walls will be bursting open, Lord, that we will fill your church and sing your praises and seek your face. Lord, again, be with us as we go out this coming week. Keep us safe in our travels. All those who are going back home from seeing family this Christmas, Lord, give them travel mercies and wrap your loving arms around us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Coming, everybody. God bless.